Well, today is Orphan Sunday. Well, this is every year, the first Sunday of November is the day that the church around the country sets apart to remember the fatherless. There are 163 million kids living on planet Earth today that don't have a mom and a dad. 163 million children who won't go to bed today with a hug. Who won't wake up tomorrow morning to the words, "Good morning, I love you." 163 million. There's about 17 million people that live in this state. That's 10 times the size of the state of New York. Living without a dad, without a mom. Just in the United States of America, there are 500 children living in foster care. Because mom and dad don't have the skills. I'm serious. We're not playing around about this marriage retreat. Families break up, leaving the kids with one parent or another. That parent doesn't have the skills to take care of it on their own. And so part of this foster care problem that we have in America is because the families are breaking down. And so you think you've got a good marriage? You could have a great one. You think you're raising good kids? I'm not saying that kids can't be raised in a single family home. I'm not saying that at all. There are mothers in this room that are doing a great job raising their kids by themselves. But don't you think it would be easier? Don't you think that God's design was for us to carry the load? You hear the scripture, a threefold cord. It's not easily broken. And when it comes to families, you got the mom, you got the dad. Get the Holy Spirit woven together, and we can raise our children right. So today is the day where we stop down to remember the fact that, honestly, we're reminded in this 163 million number, we're reminded of God's heart for us. Let me read this to you from Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. It says, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved, in Jesus." Adoption is God's idea. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, we became orphans. Our connection to our dad was broken, and we were living with our stepdad, who taught us a lot of bad habits. He taught us to follow our own passions and our own desires. But God, through Jesus, has adopted us as heirs with Christ. So when you stand in a right relationship with God, you stand as a brother or a sister with Jesus. Adoption was God's idea. And so I'm telling you, this series is all about why we feel like God has marked us out to be a missional church, a church that reaches the world. And I'm telling you right now that in the next 5 to 10 years, it is our goal that we eliminate the foster problem in Schenectady County. Right now, there is a larger list of children waiting for homes. And in 10 years, our goal is to flip-flop that. So that there is a larger list of homes waiting for children. We will be involved in bringing down that number, the 163 million number. Which means some of us, we're not in the place where we can bring kids into our home. We're single parents as it is, or we're past child raising years. But we will be on a mission to bring that number down. You have resources that we could use to bring a kid home from Africa, from Asia, from Europe, where these kids are going to bed in an orphanage, just thrown into a crib. And these kids, I'll tell you from my church back home, he's in the fourth grade now, he's a little boy. And that little boy didn't cry, ever. The little boy never cries. Because he was an orphan in Russia, and he learned at an early age that crying doesn't do any good. Crying doesn't solve any problems. And so when he falls and hurts himself, he stands back up and he walks. We want to teach kids how to cry. We want to teach kids what it's like to have a mom and a dad that say, I love you. Yesterday was November the 2nd. And I'll tell you that on November the 2nd of 2011, I woke up at an ungodly hour, 5 o'clock in the morning, so that I could drive an hour and a half to a courthouse so that I could make Jacob and Grace mine. Jacob and Grace Clark are here today. They're upstairs because God told me that he cares about orphans. He told me that he cared about me and my orphan state. And he cares about you in your orphan state. And so we have to be a people that if we are moving our lives into the image of God, we have to be passionate about this crisis that's happening. And there are people that would say, but God is so, if he is so good, how could he allow a problem like this? How could he let 163 million kids live today? How could he allow 30,000 children to die today because they didn't have enough food to eat? If God is so good, why doesn't he have a solution for that problem? And I'm telling you that you are his solution to the problem. You see, the church was the original orphan center, the orphanage. The first adoption agency was the church. And when the church started taking a back seat, that had to be turned over to the government. And I'm not saying they're doing a good or a bad job at it, but the thing that was designed to be housed here in the church has now gone outside and it is run by the government. And there are churches all over this country that tell you that it is time for that to end. It is our job. And we will step up and be God's solution to a 163 million child problem. And so I just want you guys to know, I'm not going to stop ringing that bell. That bell is a bell that continues to ring in the back of my head. And we won't stop. And you're going to hear some more things that we're not going to stop at this morning. But we're not going to stop. You are going to hear that we're going to do our part to eliminate that number. I want you guys to flip over as we get into kind of our topic for today. Flip over to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to kind of lay out where we're headed. This series is called One Great Love, Our Heart to Reach the World. And so this morning what we're going to talk about is some things that we're already doing, why God has marked us out to be this. This thing that we're doing. So here we go. Let me read to you. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse, 3, 6. Acts chapter 1, sorry, I said Ephesians. That's where I was before. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. So it says this, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, what they had been waiting for was this king to ride in on a white horse to overtake the Romans and to give them their country and give them their life back. And so now they're asking, Jesus, you died on a cross, you came back to life. Are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel now? And here's his answer. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power. If you write in your Bible, please circle that word will. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be, circle that word will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come the same way you saw him go. And so this series, we are going to break it down. There are 4 weeks in the month of November. And so we're going to break it down and we're going to choose each one of those. He said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. For us, that's Scotia, Glenville, Schenectady County. We will be his witnesses in this area. This is our city. This is our town. Next week, we're going to take in all of Judea, and that is the surrounding area. It was the land around them. And we're going to take a look at why God has called us to be a part of the regional church, how we can do our part to reach 850,000 people. 850,000 people, and roughly 2.5% of them have a biblical definition of a relationship with God. Now, a lot of them would tell you, I believe in God. I go to church. Oh, yeah, I'm a member over at such and such church. Oh, yeah, when is the last time you went? I can't remember. I can't remember the last time I went, but that's my church. And so there are lots of people that would tell you that. But 2.5% of the people, 2.5% of 850,000 people have a biblical definition of a relationship with God. And so what we're going to do next week is talk about how God has equipped us and is mobilizing us to make a difference in that number. The next week, Samaria would be the area surrounding our area. So we're going to look at what God has called us to do in the United States of America and how we can be a part of planting churches, how we can be a part of starting ministries, what we can do in the United States of America, how we can partner with ministries that are already doing great work. And then the last week, we're going to talk about all the ends of the earth, the whole world, what God has done in us so that we can reach the world. But today, what we're going to talk about is Scotia, Glenville, Schenectady. It's called, the title of today's message is kind of City View, loving the people in our lives the way Jesus did. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a couple of scriptures this morning, telling us how Jesus loved the people of his city. And then I'm going to talk to you about some of the things that you're already doing. These things were happening before I got here, and we're going to continue on those things. So flip over in your Bible to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Last night, I asked people to flip over. So if you're in Acts, flip over a few pages to the left, and you'll find Mark. Last night, I flipped over a few pages to the right, and I said, man, it's got to be a little disconcerting to you that the guy preaching to you doesn't really know where the books of the Bible are. I did know that Mark was the other direction, but I was just really tired. We had a great day yesterday. We had about 250 people out there in the parking lot. Yeah, give yourselves a hand. The ladies who weren't even able to be a part of the day, but spent their Thursdays and Fridays making pastries and cookies and goodies. So that the people, I'll tell you what, last night, six people found out that we thought it was five, found out that six people that came, first time we'd ever seen them, first time they'd ever met us, was at this party, and six of them were part of the 47 people that were in church last night. That's 12.7% of last night's attendance came because of the party that you threw out in the parking lot yesterday. 29.7% of last night's 47 in attendance were first-time guests because of what God is doing through this church. Let's read about why. Why has he marked us out for this? Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Let me set the scene up before we read. So Jesus has been healing people. People have been brought to him, and he was just exhausted, and so right before this, it says that he needed to get away out, and so he and his disciples, they get out on a boat just to get some rest. And yesterday, I could tell you that I could identify with how Jesus felt. I didn't feel like Jesus, but I could tell you, scriptures tell us that people were coming at Jesus from all directions to be healed, right? Even one story tells us that the room was so full that people went up on the roof, cut a hole, came down through. So not people coming from the front, from the back, from the left, from the right. I did your left and right. I just wanted you guys to know I did that. Right? From the left and from the right. But there are people now coming up from above to get healing from Jesus. And so he needed that rest. And I could tell you yesterday, I could identify with needing that rest. I wore a hat to preach last night, which the 3 hours a week that I don't wear a hat are the 3 hours that you see me in this room. The other 164 hours in a week, I wear a hat. Well, I don't wear a hat to sleep. So, but you get it, right? But last night, I was so tired, I couldn't even be bothered to do my hair, right? I sat down in the back of the room thinking, holy cow, now we got to do church. We did this all day. Now we got to do church. And I thought, I need to go do my hair. And the harder I thought about getting up, the heavier my body seemed to get and the more planted in my chair. I'm seriously, like my hair, here's what I do. I put water on my hair and then I just rub it in a circle and this is what you get, right? I've got the easiest hairdo ever. No brushes, nothing. Water, circle. I couldn't even be bothered to get up off that pew in the back, head downstairs, get some water on my hair. That's how beat I was. So I could identify with Jesus needing to get away and get a break. But he got that break. And this is what happened. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd to lead them. And he began to teach them many things. And so last night, man, 5:30, I was beat. I was ready to just go home and call it a day. But then people started coming in. And I knew that we were going to this verse. And so I started seeing the people that came in last night through the lenses of Jesus, because they are sheep with no shepherd to lead them. 8,000 people. 8,000 people live in Scotia. 2.5% of them have a biblical definition of a relationship with Jesus. I'm not very good at math, but I can tell you that the number of people who don't have a relationship with Jesus is like up here, and the people that do is like down here. I'm smart enough to figure that out, right? Those statistics that I gave you earlier are pretty much made up. They're not really. I didn't put it in a calculator. But I'm telling you, when I started seeing the people that came in last night like Jesus does, like sheep without a shepherd to lead them, and I'm reminded why I moved 1,700 miles, not because I wanted to leave, but because God said go. And he said go because there are sheep without a shepherd, and I have marked you out to be that. And I have not only marked you out to be that, but I have marked you out to lead these people to be that. And Miss Nancy, she's been getting at me, guys. I'm going to tell you what. She has been getting after me because I'm a doer. I see something that needs to be done, and I do it. And she's been telling me, Greg, we want to help. We want to do. Let us do. You just have to tell us what to do. Miss Chris is a doer, but I don't tell her enough. Here's what you can do. And I'm finding out that this place is full of people who are doers, who are ready to lead sheep. And so I can either wear myself out doing it by myself, or I can look on you and say that God has marked you out. So why are we called City View Church? Why are we called City View Church? Because God has given us the vision of them, not of us. Because if I continue to do this by myself, when it's over and we did a great job, I get to stand here with my Superman cape flowing in the wind because I did a great job. But that's not God's design. God didn't mark me out. It's not my job. It's not Jay's job. It's not Joey's job to do the work of ministry. He has called you. And remember, a few weeks ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we talked about how you are his ambassador. And an ambassador is the highest ranking official from one principality in another. And so what he is calling you is, you are his highest ranking official. You are the highest ranking official of the kingdom of heaven living here on planet Earth. And it is your job to proclaim the message of your King. And so why are we City View Church? Because we're proclaiming his message. And so we don't need to proclaim it to ourselves, right? We're all here. We got that. But we need to get them in our view. We need to have them in our focus. You know, there's a lot of great ministries. We're going to take a break from the Bible for a minute. We're going to come back to it and let the words of Jesus kind of wrap us up again. But I want to tell you why you had the City View before I got here. God gave me a name that I felt like he wanted me to call a church. And there were a lot of things that I felt like he told me he wanted the church to do. Here are some things that I want the church to do. And this is how, when Jay and I started talking about whether or not this partnership was going to work out, is because you were already City View Church. You were already doing it. And that's how I knew, is that God gave me these visions of things that we needed to accomplish. God gave me these things that we needed to be a part of so that we could push back darkness in this area, and you were already doing it. You were called a different name, but you were already doing it. Check out this story. This guy's name's Lloyd. Lloyd's going to tell you a story of things that you accomplished.
My marriage started falling apart, and all within about 3 months of each other, I had lost my home, my marriage, and my job. I had truly just sunk to a low that I just didn't feel like I could get out of, at least in my own understanding. So I decided to move to New York. So I got on a bus with the last bit of money I had and got to Port Authority in New York City. And within the first 6 hours I was there, everything that I owned was stolen. The Port Authority police suggested I go down to the homeless shelter there by Bellevue Hospital. And unfortunately, they were only taking in-state residents. They put me on a list and gave me a list of soup kitchens. They told me I couldn't stay there, so I spent the first 2 weeks in New York City living on the streets of Manhattan. Even then, you know, I didn't even reach out to God. I was actually cursing God for the way my life was turning out. And after about 2 weeks, almost three of doing that, I had sunk to such a low that I thought I was just going to end my life, because anything was better than the pain I was feeling. And I had every intention of jumping over the bridge. But I had to use words that I could only associate to God. You know, my legs kept moving. I wanted to go over the bridge, but I just didn't. And I shouted, you know, I was like shouting at God. I was like, you know, if you're really out there, if you truly do care about people like you say, then I need help. You know, I hear a lot about foxhole prayers, and if there ever was one, mine was. So anyway, I get across the George Washington Bridge to the other side, and by this point it was evening, so I could see the headlights of the cars, and it just so happened that the headlights hit the shiny part of the shiny coin that I had found on the ground, and when I picked it up, all it said was trust. And so, you know, that first of all told me that God was listening to me. And as clearly as I'm talking now, I distinctly heard a voice in the back of my head that just said, walk. I ended up walking for 13 days. You know, I kept telling God, I'm getting hungry, I'm getting tired. And again, I just very distinctly heard that voice, just keep walking. So I did. And during that time, I got three rides. And all three rides totaled about 20 miles total from the entire walk. And but each time they did, the person gave me $20, which gave me just enough money to buy food to last me until the next ride picked me up. I finally get to Mechanicville, and someone had mentioned that they had a food pantry there. And I walk into this food pantry in the community center. The lady there said, yeah, we have food here. She goes, and here, there's shoes here that you can try on. If you can wear them, you can have them. So she gave me the shoes. But she said, there's a bus that goes to Troy. And also there's, if you can get to from Troy to Schenectady, there's a city mission. There's a mission there for men. So make a long story short, without the city mission or the people that support the city mission, I wouldn't be here where I'm at. I would have ended my life over, you know, on a rainy, cold night off the bridge and so off the George Washington Bridge in New York City. But in that, you know, for people like me who grew up around the church but was never in it, it's opened a whole new world for me. You know, I'm learning the Bible. I know the Bible quite well, but there's an enthusiasm there that I've never had about learning before.
So Lloyd grew up his entire life around church. Around the church. He went to Vacation Bible Schools as a kid. He heard about God. He knew about Jesus. But he lived his life like everything depended on him. And when he found out that he was not enough, he was ready to end it all. And he walked 170 miles in 13 days. Wore out his shoes. Because God said, don't do it. There's hope. I have something for you. And so if this church hadn't supported what goes on at the City Mission, Lloyd and the people he represents countless other people who go through the program at the City Mission and are introduced to a real relationship with Jesus. Not just this one that he thought he had, but this real relationship with Jesus. Let me take a look on the screen, other things that you guys have done, things you were doing before I got here. There's a prison ministry because this church decided that everybody deserves a second chance. Maybe everybody doesn't deserve a second chance at freedom, but in the scheme of eternity, everybody deserves a chance to hear that God has better for you. Everybody deserves the chance to hear that God can put together what is broken inside of you. And so you guys gave money to that. There's a camp, a summer camp that you guys gave to so that little kids had the opportunity to hear about a relationship with Jesus. Like Lloyd, but then to push that deeper and let them know that Jesus is the way to live. Following Jesus is the best way. And then Campus Crusade for Christ, giving to a missionary guy who works for Campus Crusade for Christ so that college students had the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, because college students are the next doctors and lawyers. They're the next dentists. They're the next housewives. They're the next moms and dads. And so if we can teach these college students, some 30,000 kids just in our really close area, if we can teach them to follow Jesus. You know, we're always complaining about what's going on in the government. We're always complaining, but we're not doing anything for the next politician. If we can teach them to follow Jesus now, we don't have to complain and pray for God to come in and intervene in their life and save them when they're in office. See, God's solution to this whole problem is the church, which is why he's marked us out to have them in our lens. There's a group of ladies, Miss Jane, Miss Chris, the Berea group. I don't know what Berea means, and honestly, I don't care, because here's what Berea means. Berea means we give everything we've got for them. We give everything that we have. We work ourselves to the bone so that these people know that someone loves and cares for them. I mean, take a look at on the screens. There's two slides of it. This is the second one. He can come back to the first one and see everything that this Berea group does. You know, we talk about the church gives money to City Mission. This Berea group has a rummage sale every month. And the money that they raise goes to help people. You can't pay your bill? We'll help you. The clothes that are left over are donated to the City Mission store. And when they sell it, it's still supporting City Mission. This is what God told me he wanted me to be a part of when I left Texas. I had no idea you were here. But I knew that this is what I wanted to do. There's a ministry that we have here called Scotia Cares. Scotia Cares does all of this stuff that you can see. They help people who can't help them. And so here's a phrase that I want you to get, because this is going to be one of our anthems, that we are going to love our community to Christ. And so how do we love them to Christ? When they can't clean up their yard, we're going to go do it. When their heater's busted, we're going to fix it. When their hot water heater dies, we're going to buy them a new one. When all of a sudden you're handicapped and you can't access your home, the place where you live is no longer accessible to you, we're going to come in and build you a handicap ramp. But here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take one step further and say that we're not just helping you with those things because you needed them. We're helping you with those things because that's what God told us to do. And we're going to introduce you to a relationship with Jesus. So here's what you need to know. You can read it in your bulletin. The year of 2014 is the year that we stop doing what Scotia Cares has been doing. And we start doing more. So there are six things on the list. When I get up here, because we're going to do this series every year in November. I'm going to come up here and I'm going to tell you, when you put your money in that plate, here's what we did with it. I didn't get a new fancy car. I might get a new fancy car, but it's not because you gave. I didn't get a bigger house. You gave us this money, and here's what we did to reach people. We're going to do everything that we can. 30 people this year have raised their hands to say that I am ready to take the next step in my relationship with Jesus in this building. In a few weeks, I'm going to tell you what's happened throughout the world, in Haiti, in Uganda, in Ukraine, because of the money that you gave to support these people. That's what we're going to tell you. And so 2014, November of 2014, when we stand right here, that list isn't going to be six things. And we've got some things planned on how we're going to expand that. I'm not going to tell you about them right now because I don't have all the answers. The board is working on this thing that we're doing. We've got a plan to expand that ministry because we really believe that growing this church is going to be to show these people in this area that they're not alone. There is someone that cares. And his name is God. And because God cares, we care. And it's more than just you're needing a handicap ramp, but you need Jesus. And we're going to do that. And so 2014, when we get up here, if that list isn't 10 or greater, then I failed you. The good news is I don't fail. If I have to go do it myself, Miss Nancy says I'm not allowed to do that. But if I have to go do it myself, we are going to do more. You know, Mr. John is getting to the place in life where he can't do all of this by himself. He's been the champion of Scotia Cares. John and Chris have given their heart and soul so that the people of Scotia know that we love them and care about them. But he's getting to the place where he can't do that alone. And so we have to come up with a solution to do that. And we've got it, but it's going to raise more questions than I have answers for right now. So I'm telling you that by the time 2014 gets here, we've got an answer for that. We're going to start reaching teenagers. Teenagers are the hope, right? We got to teach these kids to love Jesus. These kids that ride their bikes up and down this street. We've got to have a solution for them. How do we teach them to love and follow Jesus? And so we're working on a plan for that. Again, raising more questions than I have answers for you today. But for the rest of 2013, that's what we're putting together. Your elder board is having meetings on how we can put these things together and lead in this way. And this is why. Flip over to Luke chapter 15. And this is going to be the thing that kind of wraps us up this morning. This is going to be another one of those phrases that you need to have knitted onto a pillow. Is it knitted? You don't knit it. You sew it, needlepoint, you cross-stitch it. You do something. Get this on your pillow. I don't care if you use a Sharpie. I don't care. It's Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 3. And so Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost? And he keeps going until he finds it. Who among you doesn't leave the 99 and go after the lost one of them until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice for me, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so we are a church, and here's your phrase, we are a church that's after the one. We are after the one true living God of the Bible, the only hope for anyone's life. But to be after him, we have to be after them. And so we're after the one. We are the 99. And so there are a lot of things that we do here that aren't going to be targeted at you. He leaves the 99 in an open field where they can eat, where they'll be taken care of, where there's water, but he leaves them behind, meaning that the shepherd's focus is not on the ones that are safe. The shepherd's focus is on the one who he has no idea where they are. Have they gone over a cliff? Are they near where the wolves live? Where are they? And I will not stop until I find that one. And so we have small groups here that are here to feed the 99. They're the food and the water for the 99, for you. But we're after them because God was after them. If you have a red letter Bible, that was a story told by Jesus. And he says, I tell you this, that there is more rejoicing in heaven over the one that was found than the 99 that were safe. And so why did we throw that parking lot party yesterday? Why did we have a fall festival out here? It's because we want to throw parties. We want to throw parties. Do we want to grow our church? We want to grow our church. But we want to remind ourselves that we're here to throw parties in heaven. And so when we throw parties out there, it's a visual picture for us now of what we're doing in heaven. So when those 30 people this year have raised their hand to say, I'm ready to follow Jesus, I'm ready to give him everything that I've got, then we threw 30 parties in heaven. And so 3, 4, 5 times a year, we're going to throw those parties. We're going to throw them so big out there that we have to move over here. And we're going to throw them so big over here that we got to move to the park. But we will throw parties to remind ourselves that God is the God who throws parties. And so we're after the one. So I'll tell you, you guys have been doing a lot of these things. And God is the God who does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. But sometimes his methods change. Now remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, the tabernacle, how there was a tent and there was this place in there that one guy could go one day a year. And then Jesus died on the cross and the veil ripped apart. And God changed how he interacted with his people. It wasn't just for one man one day of a year, but it is for everybody who is a repentant follower of Jesus. Every single one of us have access to the presence of God every day. And so God didn't change. But the way that he ministered to his people, the way he interacted with his people changed. And so you guys have been doing some things that are very, very much in line with who God is and what he wants to do. But we're going to change how we do them a little. And here's the deal. You guys think that I'm a guy who just likes to come in and change things? That's fine with me. I'm a guy who likes to come in and change things. And in 5 years, when the things that we change now aren't working anymore, we're going to change them again. And 2 years after that, when they don't work, we're going to change them again. And I'm going to give the rest of my life after the one in Scotia, Glenville, Schenectady, the capital region of the United States of America, United States of America, and to the ends of the earth. Because when we receive power, when the Holy Spirit comes, we will, you circle the word will, we will be his messengers in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so this morning, we're going to wrap our time up by taking communion. And so we come to the table like this. We come to the table being reminded that we are the 99. And so when you take that bread and you drink that juice, I want you to pray. And I want you to say, God, help me be a person who's after the one. Because when we do this again next month, there's 34 people in this room right now. When we do this again next month, it's going to be 54 people. And when we do it again the next month, it's going to be 74 people. Because we are people who are after them. We're going to put aside what we think we need. We're going to put aside what we think we want. And we're going to give them what they want. And what they want is Jesus. And right now, they're filling it up with drugs. They're filling it up with alcohol. They're filling it up with fake intimacy. But we're going to teach them how to fill it up with the God who leaves you never wanting more or never needing more. Remember that story after he came off the waters and he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. He took 5 loaves, 2 fishes and fed 30,000 people with 12 baskets left over. This isn't fake intimacy. This isn't a high or a buzz that's going to wear off. But this is the real deal. So when you take that communion, that's what you're taking. And as you come to the table this morning, I want you to listen. I want you to read the words to this song. Because we have a God of justice who is a savior to all. And he came to earth for the weak and the poor. And so our prayer is that he would fill us up and he would send us out. And then we would come back here, and he would fill us up, and then he would send us out. And he would fill us up, and we would send us out. So as Joey sings, you come to the table. The blood of Christ washed away your sin, and his body that was broken, bruised for your iniquities, purchased you the right to be the 99. Now God, give us a heart for the one. God, as we come to the table this morning to take this communion, it's not just a ritual, it's not just a symbol that we do to remember. But God, this is something that we do so that we can be filled up and reminded of what we are filled up with, and we are filled up with your power. We are filled up with your strength, and we are not filled so that we are okay, but we are filled to be sent out. And so God, remind us of that as we take this communion this morning. As Joey sings, you come.